Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the service this morning. We're glad that you're all able to be with us once again. Welcome to those who've returned from holiday, and we hope you've had a good and refreshing time. And those who are going to go off on holiday in the next few weeks, we hope you manage to get there and enjoy a time away from home. But we're here, and in Psalm 9 it says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And we're going to begin by singing the song, Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. After which Martin is going to take over and lead our service for us.
Of sovereign power, come shake the earth again, that all may see and come with reverent fear to the living God, whose kingdom shall outlast thee. Restore, O Lord, in all the earth your fame, and in a time revive the church that bears your name. In your anger, Lord, remember mercy, O living God, whose mercy shall outlast thee. Of sovereign power, come shake the earth again, that all may see and come with reverent fear to the living God, whose kingdom shall outlast thee.
Well, welcome everybody, and I'll say hello to everybody so that I don't miss out anybody. We don't see all your pictures on the screen, so I'll just say hello to everybody this morning. It's great to be here. It was a lovely song by Graham Kendrick, and let's just launch into our service with a prayer following that song. Heavenly Father, We pray that your name would be restored. Restore, O Lord, your name in all the earth, that we might bring peace and joy and love to a seeking nation and a seeking world. We pray, Lord, that you would restore your name again in our hearts. And as we worship this morning, as we come before you, we would allow you to move amongst us, to challenge us by what we sing, what we hear from your word, and what we hear in the message. We pray that you would guide us and restore once again your sovereignty. In your name, amen.
Amen.
We are going to have our first reading, which is Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. And I believe that Norma is going to read this for us.
From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "this will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Amen.
Thank you, Norma. An interesting reading, that one. I'm not going to spend a long time on this particular part of our service today, but Jesus explains that he's going to go and be killed, and the disciples, or some of the disciples, fail to understand really what Jesus' mission is. I wonder, as we read that and we read the whole passage there, as Norma did, how many of us sometimes miss what the mission that God is trying to do at the moment is, because it doesn't fit quite with the way that we see things panning out. I think there's always comes times where we have to come before God and once again hand over to him and ask him to clarify what he's trying to do. No matter how hard it might seem to us, we need to be able to put aside our own agendas, to be able to walk the walk that God has called to fulfill his plan. So in that doing, our next song is one that we learned a few years ago at Grapevine, a celebrational camp we used to go to. Above all powers, above all thrones. So let's sing this together now.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what and laid behind a stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above.
Of Jesus was always to come and take the fall for us, to pay the price that we could be redeemed. And I think that song sums that up, that it's above everything we have and everything we understand and everything we believe. Jesus Christ, Lord God, is above all. We have our second read now, and this I've chosen again from a YouTube little video clip, and it's the story of God calling Moses.
Little one, be careful. I've never seen anything like that. I've got to take a closer look. You probably have more sense than I have, little one. A fire that doesn't harm the bush.
And when he had climbed to the place, God called to him out of the midst of the fire.
Moses. Moses. Moses.
I'm here. I'm right here.
Take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground.
Taken off my shoes. Sir?
I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cries, for I know their sorrows. Therefore I will send you, Moses, to free them, and you will bring my people to serve me upon this mountain.
Who am I, Lord, to do this? If I go back to Egypt and say I'm sent by God, nobody will believe me. They'll ask me, what God? What's this God's name? What will I tell them?
I am that I am. You will say, I am has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And they will believe you. Now go. I will be with you.
Lord, they're going to need more than my word.
Moses, cast your staff onto the ground. Now pick it up by the tail. Put your hand inside your robe and draw it out.
My hand, it's diseased.
Put your hand back inside your robe and draw it out again. Show the people these signs, and they will believe. Give them my message, and they will follow you out of Egypt to this mountain, and then you will lead them to their true home, a land that will flow with milk and honey for them all.
Lord, I trust your judgment, but I'm not that great a speaker.
Use your brother Aaron to help you. Do as I have instructed, Moses. I will be with you.
I want to focus upon this little story this morning. We don't often focus upon the Old Testament side of our liturgies that we follow, but this story intrigued me, as it often does when I read it. But before we start, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scriptures that challenge us as we read them and as we listen to them. We thank you, Lord, that through your word, you speak to us and you call us. And we pray this morning as we look at it and we think about it, Lord, that you would plant seeds. You would plant seeds not only of vision and of purpose, but Lord, you would plant seeds of challenge, and that we would hear your voice and we would respond. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to break this down, really. I've got 4 points I want to just bring out of this, and They're all short points, you'll be pleased to hear, but they're ones that I think lead us to a point where we have to think about how this story impacts us. I think my first point is attracted by God. Moses was out doing his usual everyday stuff. He was out looking after his father-in-law's sheep, and God needed to catch Moses' attention, and he does this by appearing before him in the form of fire. And he does it as a fire on a bush. And we read in the scripture that Moses looks and says, there's a bush that's not burning up. I need to go and have a closer look. So it's a bush that doesn't burn. It's something that's out of the ordinary for what Moses wouldn't have expected. And I wonder what God needs to do to each one of us, or for each one of us, to attract our attention. And I was thinking about the scriptures again, and you think, yeah, he attracts Moses' attention through a burning bush. He attracted Jonah's attention by having him being swallowed in the belly of a whale. He attracted Elijah's attention at the mountain with fire and earthquake and wind, and then that peacefulness. And I'm sure in many other stories you can think of, there are ways that God has attracted people's attention. And I just wonder what he needs to do to each one of us, or for each one of us, what it is that would make us stop in our tracks and find out what is going on in front of us. But also with Moses, what would our reaction to this unusual sight be? Some of us, I'm sure, would, like Moses, go and look at the bush, say, I need to inspect this, I need to find out what's going on. But I'm sure others of us would be a bit suspicious and might walk away, saying, I'm not going anywhere near that, that's not natural. So the question I'm asking here is, you know, what it is that we need to happen for us to be attracted by God, for God to attract our attention. Does he need to be as dramatic as he was with Moses and some of the others in the Old Testament and the Bible? But the next thing I wanted to bring up, the second point, is as Moses approaches the bush, God leaves no doubt that he wants to speak to him, because he calls his name. He knows Moses' name, as God knows each one of our names. And as Moses approaches, God calls out of the bush. You hear the voice of God. Scripture says, it says, Moses. So there's no doubt who God wants to speak to. God is aware of who is there. And Moses is special enough for God to know who he is, as are you, as am I. God knows our names. He knows us inside out. And he has... he's letting Moses sort of in on, I've done this because I needed to attract you to come and speak to me. I needed to talk to you. So I've come to a place where you can see my presence. I wonder sometimes how many of us actually even believe that God knows our name. That do we stand out amongst the crowd? I know we talk about our past and stuff frequently, because obviously for each of us, that's what we have as a reference for things. I remember being at school and always sort of being one of those that sort of blended into the background. I was never sort of somebody who stood out at anything. And I wonder if that's how we feel amongst all the people on the earth today. But I need to assure you that God knows your name. God knows who you are. And God knows all about you. And you are special to him. So as Moses approaches this bush, the third point here is that God commissions him. God sets out the situation. He says, I understand what's going on. I understand my people are being mistreated by the Egyptians. I understand that they are being hurt and abused. He's saying, but my solution is this. And he lays out before Moses his plan. He informs Moses where he fits into God's plan. Moses, I think, like most of us, argues with God. It's not a full-blown argument. He just comes up with excuses as to why it shouldn't be him, it should be somebody else. And I think, again, a lot of us have that sort of feeling. The church needs to do this, but I'm not to do it. It's somebody else who's got to do it. I feel we need to do this for the nation, but I'm not going to do it. Somebody else needs to do it. I'm not clever enough. I'm not strong enough. I've got no authority. And we can always come up with reasons as to why it shouldn't be us. But the beautiful thing about the scriptures and about God is he takes the normal and makes it special. So he takes us as individuals and he empowers us, if we trust in him, to fulfill his mission, to fulfill his purpose. It's not because of what we can do, but it's the ability that we have to allow God to work through us. God empowers his people to fulfill his mission. What would our reaction be if God walked into our room and said, I can see what's going on in your nation today, and I need you to go and tell the people they need to change? We would say, oh, but so-and-so is much better at speaking than I am. Or I can't do this because I've got a stutter or whatever. God says, if you trust in me, I can do all things through you. And then my final point for this message is that Moses is accepted by God. I wanted to use the word adopted here. There's something special, I think, here, because the acceptance side of it comes. If you imagine, like, when you're at school or when you're in a new office or in a new position in life, you're that bit shy. You don't go in somewhere shouting out your name, telling everybody who you are. You tend to sort of want to blend into the background, to sit in a corner somewhere. Moses says, look, okay, you're telling me I can do all this. You're telling me you want me to do this. But the people are going to say, who sent me? So he says to God, I need to know what to tell them and who are you? And I love God's reply. And every time I speak on this passage, this identification of God sort of hits me, because it's the revelation of the reality of God. Moses says, I need to tell them who sent me. What shall I tell them? And God simply replies, I am. He doesn't say, I was. I was the father of of Abraham and of Isaac and of your ancestors or your predecessors. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I will be. He says, I am. He doesn't say, I could be. I could be one of the gods that they might listen to. I could be one of many gods in your society. He doesn't say that. He says, I am. I am. I am is an ever-present tense. It means that God doesn't change. It means that the God that we serve today is the same God who spoke to Moses in a burning bush. And when God revealed himself to Moses and said to him, I am, in the same way today, this morning, through this Zoom service, God says to you, I am. I am with you. I am close to you. I am here. I am all you need. God says, I am. I'm going to finish with just four questions for you to consider from this story, and as you go through your week, as you go through the next few days, I want you to consider these questions. One, have you seen or received your invite? What was or is your burning bush experience? How did God reveal himself to you? Do you hear God calling your name? Like when Moses approached and God says to him, Moses, Moses. as he say your name? Can you hear him saying your name, said with compassion and with love, with open arms? Number three, what is your mission, your calling? What is God's plan for you? What did he, when he called your name and you ran to him with open arms and he accepted you with open arms, what was the plan that he put before you? What was it he said to you? I want you for this, to do this. And number four, do you trust him as I am? Do we think of God as I am? Or do we think of him as somebody who is distant? Do we think of him as somebody who's in the past? Or do we accept him and understand the all-powerful, ever faithful I am? I've chosen a song to sing now. For selfish reasons, I love the song. And B, it's about fire. So it's a God of burning, cleansing flame. And I think we need to maybe understand that God is the I am and he's a burning, cleansing fire. Let's sing. Let's pray together as we think of others and what's going on in the world around us. Father, we thank you again for your word, for the family of the church and for our friends and our relatives. We thank you that you give your love to all who call to you. We pray and think of those who are lonely, bereaved and displaced today. We pray that you would bring comfort and peace and that you would be close to them. We pray for the charities and the organisations that help them and that you would give them strength and you would bless them. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are worried. Worried about COVID, worried about losing jobs, worried about income reductions, worried about family, worried about circumstances, worried about the future. We pray for these people that you would give them peace of mind. We confess, Lord, that although we know and understand and read from the scriptures that you are an all-powerful, all-supplying God, we worry about situations. And where we are worried, Lord, we pray that you would come in and that you would encompass and fold us in your arms and show us peace and love. We pray for those that we know of and hear of who are sick. We can name many, many people between all of us who are here on this Zoom service. We think of them now, Lord, and we bring them before you, not because you say, pray for the sick, so we just bring them. We bring them before you, Lord, because we believe you are an all-powerful, healing God. And that by bringing them to you, we dare to ask you, Lord, to heal the sick. Lord, we don't only sort of pray for those that we know that know you and say, heal them. Lord, we just pray for those of our families, our friends, our neighbourhoods. We ask there would be an outpouring of healing from your Holy Spirit. We pray this morning for those who are searching for truth, searching for answers. Lord, we pray that you would be close to them. And for those of us that are able to give help and maybe give some answers, give us wisdom as we see these people, as we think of them. And Lord, we pray that you would empower your church to stand up and to be strong, to be the answer to the nations that it was called to be, to provide where it can provide, to support where it can support. Lord, and we pray that we would share the great news of Jesus Christ, of his death and his resurrection and his saving power. Lord, in our mission, help us to have eyes that are open, ears to hear, hearts of compassion, arms to embrace, a spirit of acceptance, and a life filled with the joy of the Lord. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. And together we'll say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. All that being said and all that being done, as we draw our service to a close, our final song is one that is a clear statement. And I think I'd like to say to you, think about the words as they're being sung. Here I am, wholly available. We are saying to God like Moses, submitted finally to God's plan. I believe this song is one where we're saying to him the same things. Here I am, Lord, wholly available to serve you and to fulfill your purposes. I would like to say to you, if you feel that this is something you can say to God and you mean it, then join in the song. If you can't say this to God and mean, I am wholly available for your use, then listen to the song and let the words wash over you and be blessed as we are led through it. Let's sing.
looking for a people who are willing to be counted in his glorious victory.
Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to have been together for this short time of a week, albeit separated in distance, but we are united and joined in spirit. We thank you for the lesson that we've looked at today from the Old Testament, from Moses. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would experience that burning bush sensation, Lord, where we know that you have called us and you have filled us. Lord, the last song we sang was "Here I Am, Wholly Available." And I know it's easy for us to just say words because they're in front of us. Not always easy to fulfill that. And I ask that you would forgive us for the times where we've not been wholly available to serve you. But Lord, I pray that from this day forward, we would seek to make ourselves more available to do the things that you have called us to do. Lord, in our Christian lives, may we grow closer to you. May we reach out to those that need to know you. And may we be lights shining in the darkness, salt bringing flavor. Lord, as we go through this week, help us to hear your voice and to respond in your name. Amen. And let's together say the grace. The grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and evermore.
Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, thank you, Martin.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin.
We have a few notices today. First of all, Paul wants to say a few words.
Okay. Listen carefully. I shall say this only once. unfortunately, it's not brilliant news, really. As you know, we've been... Barbara Carpenter, with a view to her becoming our minister. Unfortunately, Barbara's decided she wants to withdraw from the process now. She was due to come and take the service next week, so it's a bit of a disappointment, I think. Unfortunately, it means you've got to be stuck with me for a while longer yet. think God's got his hand in all of this, and the deacons are going to be meeting on Tuesday, really, to sort of consider what the next sort of steps are and where we should go from here. But I think we just, as a church, just need to sort of pray for God's guidance as to sort of where the next steps are and where he wants us to go next. So just to let you know, that's what the position is. Not good, but, you know, God's in control.
I couldn't hear what he said.
Thank you.
Another notice is that in 2 weeks' time, on the 12th of September, it's the Northamptonshire Historic Churches Trust Ride and Stride, as they call it, where churches will be open, including our church premises between 10 and 12, for people to visit. There are over 350 churches in Northamptonshire which can be visited by people. Many of them will be actually open on the day, but obviously there are COVID precautions in place, so there may be differences from what people have experienced in the past. But all sponsorship money received is divided equally between the Northamptonshire Historic Churches Trust and the church or chapel chosen by the person who does the trip. So if anybody would like to know more information on that, they can get information from Stephanie, and I imagine there's somebody in the Methodist group as well, but I'm not sure. But even if you're in the Methodist group, come to Stephanie and she'll tell you more information about it. Stephanie is actually going to be doing the trip. I think she's going to be doing it by car, are you?
Well, I'm doing it partly around Northampton walking, and then I'm going to go out to Kettering and just take the car. I don't want to walk to Kettering. then go around by walk to a few churches to see, because I'm also the area organiser. It'd be nice to see the people who are on my list. But I'm hoping that my son or my grandson will be going with me. But if anybody's interested in doing it and wants to do it, then let me know.
And also, if you would like to sponsor Stephanie, let her know.
Or Adrian, just if you haven't got my email.
Let her know, because obviously what the Northampton Churches Historic Churches Trust does is they give grants to churches when they're doing projects, doing building work, doing other things. So it is a worthwhile thing to support.
We were lucky at Lichborough because we had a grant there.
Yeah.
We were very lucky.
So just say that our service next Sunday is actually being taken by Paul now, and there will be communion included in the service next week. So please remember to have your bread, wine, or wine substitute available for the service next week. And we will be having our normal morning prayers at 11 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday again. Are there any other notices? Trevor?
Just to mention, as far as the Methodist service is concerned, I haven't actually heard anything for the service next Sunday, but if I do hear anything, then I will circulate it and let people know as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you, Trevor.
And just to say also that Penny and myself will be away next Sunday, so we wish you all a blessing for the service next week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Trevor.
You want to say something more?
Yes, it's Adrian's birthday on Monday.
Happy birthday, Adrian.
With a bit of luck, that will change in a moment.
What, your birthday?
No. Is there anything else anybody else has to bring to us today?
No.
In which case, thank you very much. I hope you all enjoyed the service. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Good week.
Bye.
Good
week.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. I didn't see it just because I saw it a lot. Sorry.